We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now, this is a somewhat unique and unusual situation, because usually when President Trump is attacked in the media, attacked by the sycophants of the left, the water carriers for the Democrat Party, he doubles down against them. But as you heard Annie mention in the newscast, top of the hour, the president, in the wake of all the blowback from the news conference with Vlad in Helsinki yesterday, did issue some clarifications to his remarks, going out of his way to say, the assessment by American intelligence agencies that the Russians tried to meddle in our elections, that's accurate. But look, you got to understand the perspective that Donald Trump has on this. This whole trumped up, pardon the expression, this whole phony Trump dossier business and Trump colluded with the Russians and all that, you might wear your feelings on your sleeve and be somewhat hypersensitive to this whole business of Russia meddling in our elections, and any mention of that topic just rips the scab off that wound. And sometimes we are not as clear as we might be, I guess, is what the president was saying. He went on to say, look, you know, I have no problem with the American intelligence community saying the Russians attempted to meddle in the election, but by the same token, where's the evidence that there was collusion between my campaign and Vladimir Putin or any other state operator from the former Soviet Union? There is none. So you could understand that. Here we go, getting underway. It's the Tuesday, day before Thursday edition of the Bobby Mack Show. Great to have you along. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Chill, C-H-I-L-L, is the operative keyword for this hour in the $1,000 bankroll contest. And 72881 is the text line number you use to text in the keyword each hour. Chill, C-H-I-L-L, in the $1,000 bankroll contest powered by our friends at Carolina Campers. Here's how you join me and converse this afternoon. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. I guess Stephen Miller and others surrounding the president in the White House managed to convince him that the optics of this whole blow-up over the news conference in Helsinki yesterday, the optics would appear better if he, I guess for lack of a better expression, walked back or issued more clarification of what he had said yesterday. I actually wish he hadn't done it. I wish he'd let it stand on its face. But cooler heads apparently prevail. I'm somewhat confrontational when it comes to this kind of stuff. So, you know, I think, you know, there's my opinion. It's out there. And you and the media, the New York Times, the WAPO, the rest of them, you don't like it, shove off. There was a really good opinion column that was written today. I think it was published in USA Today by James Robbins. Mr. Robbins is a member of USA Today's Board of Contributors, and he's author of the book, Erasing America, Losing Our Future by Destroying Our Past. He has been a teacher at the National Defense University and the Marine Corps University, and was a special assistant in the Office of the Secretary of Defense during W's administration. And he wrote a piece with the headline, Donald Trump's summit message to the Russia collusion witch hunters, dream on, losers. I like his tone already. The Helsinki summit meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin was rich in opportunity for those who still cling to the belief that Trump owed his election to Russian meddling. Hashtag treason summit was trending on Twitter, giving rise to all manner of wild accusations, frothing. Former CIA director John Brennan called out the president for meeting one-on-one with Putin, asking what might he be hiding from National Security Advisor John Bolton, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, and the American public. Of course, Mr. Trump used the same personal touch at the summit with Kim Jong-un, and we know that the president places great value in establishing these types of direct ties. But the conspiracy theorists would have us think Trump and Putin were locked in a room hatching schemes, which shows how childish and unserious the president's critics have become. The summit began shortly after DOJ released a curiously timed indictment of 12 Russian agents for alleged hacking activities aimed at Democrats in 2016. We also learned about the ownership stake of a Russian oligarch in Maryland's election system, a state Hillary Clinton won by 26 points. Shocking. But oddly enough, there were no indictments of Russians who were also trying to hack the RNC in 2016, which the Justice Department probably saw as too confusing for the witch hunt narrative. The mere fact of a U.S. president seeking better relations with Russia should not be controversial. President Obama certainly did his best, blaming the Bush administration for souring relations between the two powers. We had Hillary Clinton's famous 2009 Russian reset, complete with a mistranslated red button stolen from a hotel jacuzzi. Obama mocked Republican presidential Mitt Romney in a 2012 debate for his remark that Russia was America's biggest geopolitical threat, saying, Obama saying the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back. And who can forget Obama's 2012 hot mic moment, assuring outgoing Russian President Dmitry Medvedev that he would have, quote, more flexibility in dealing with Moscow after the election. So, and Obama certainly was ever flexible. He responded to Russia's illegal annexation of Crimea by imposing limited sanctions on a few officials and pleading with Moscow to reverse course, which, of course, they didn't do. He dismissed Russia's 2015 military intervention in Syria as a sign of weakness and adopted a wait-and-see posture that was essentially wait and do nothing. He was more than happy to have Moscow's assistance negotiating the flawed nuclear agreement with Russia's client state, Iran, and in September 2016, after he was informed of alleged Russia attempts to influence a U.S. election, he personally told Vladimir Putin to cut it out, threatening, but later lamely discarding, serious consequences. So for Democrats to now invoke the ghost of Joe McCarthy and cry treason at Trump's efforts to improve relations with Moscow has more than a whiff of hypocrisy. Besides, what do they want? Relations to get worse? Should the United States purposely freeze out the second or maybe first largest nuclear power in the world? Yet, if Trump took a hard line with the Kremlin, his critics would say he was trying to conceal his collusion. So it's a no-win situation. I posited yesterday if he'd taken a hard line with Putin, the media would be screaming that Trump was trying to start a war with Russia. The easiest thing to do politically would be to avoid Russia. The president did not have to attend this summit meeting, especially with the midterm elections months away and special counsel Robert Mueller's expected report looming. He could have simply avoided both the issue and the optics. But Donald Trump did not become president by doing the easy or expected thing. His political MO is to disrupt the opposition by owning the downside. A summit with Vladimir Putin is the perfect Trumpian way to say to his frantic critics, I don't care, I couldn't care less what you think. and it may force some of the more thoughtful ones to begin to consider the possibility that President Trump is right and the entire Russian collusion narrative has been a lie. That piece by James Robbins, USA Today. I wonder if with the clarification today, that won't energize the other side, you know, to see, I told you so. Trump was talking treason and he had to backwater and apologize, which he didn't do. He just clarified. But you know the left. 16 after 3 here in the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back.
Bob McClain.
Welcome back. Great to have you along. 21 after 3, before I start to get too far behind here on the text line, 71307. Let me quickly catch up. Bobby, I love Fox, but they and the rest of the media play quotes from Schumer et al. At every break. They don't play the president. The average consumer knows thoroughly what the left says, but nothing of what Trump says. Bobby, the indicted Russians are presumed innocent. But Trump is presumed guilty for not publicly thrashing Putin over the presumed innocent Russians. About Lindsey Graham's comment saying, I don't mind meeting with our adversaries. A texter says Lindsey Graham is our adversary. Got a point. Bobby, may I point out, you can't hack an unsecured server. Yeah, you just go into it. There's no need to hack it to get around the security if the server is unsecured. Bobby, nobody says chill anymore. We do when it's a keyword and it's worth $1,000. Bob, listening to Vince earlier today, I began to believe that he's been driven into the swamp by his disdain for all things Trump and has become the resident snapping turtle. Gotcha. Bob, in another 24 hours, the left would have gone on to the next manufactured crisis. Now they'll keep circling like vultures. Hope this doesn't sink Trump. Texter says, let's make Russia great again. They got a long way to go, I can tell you that. You know, back in the days of the old Soviet Union, the toilet paper that was manufactured over there had wood splinters in it. I'm not making this up. Now, Bob just read an article on Drudge saying Chicago may be the first to institute universal basic income. Well, look at who's the mayor there. You know, never let a crisis go to waste. Obama's former number one guy in the White House. Watch them luxury hotels and golf courses go up in Russia. Golf courses? You talk about a short season. You think the golf season in Maine is short? Wait until you see it in Siberia. Trump is going to help make Russia great again, just like the USA made Japan great again. Bob just tried to access Breitbart and Drudge Report, but I get it kicked back. The link is down, and we'll go to Yahoo with the issue. Seems suspicious to me. That's funny because I also just lost the Drudge Report. Let's see if it will reload now. I got a 502
error, 502 error,
which I thought Moneypenny pointed out. It used to be 404, but I guess with Google, it's 502. Spinning, trying to connect. I'm sorry, Bob. I can't reach the Drudge Report website. Ah, there it is. So it's back up. Just a burp. Just a burp in the internet. Bobby, was the president's statement a slap on the wrist to the intelligence agencies? He had the international stage, and did he use it for that? I think it was a heightened sense of being overly sensitive to the whole discussion of Russia collusion, because every time that's brought up, the left always rushes to the Trump campaign colluded with Putin and the Russians. And so I think that's where that came from. Bobby, does it ever get dark in Helsinki, midnight, 4 a.m., and the sun is out? I know there are parts of Alaska where for, what, like a month, It's totally dark. Helsinki, pretty far north. Could be. I know they're getting ready to play the British Open in Scotland at Carnoustie, laddie, beginning Thursday. Tee times, I think, start at 3 a.m. Our time, which would be, let's see, what, about 8? Somewhere around 8 a.m. And they go all day because they go off in threes. And this time of year in Scotland, you can play until what? 10, 10:15, 10:30 at night. And they don't have lights on the golf courses. Or the big nuclear reactor in the sky provides the lighting. Bobby, the Trump administration doing wonderful things for America. All has been done with kid gloves on. You just wait until he's reelected in 2020 and takes the gloves off. And watch all the traitors swing from the gallows atop Trump Towers, then drag their dead bodies through the streets and impale their corpse outside the city. Well, glad you don't have a drastic solution in your crystal ball. Bobby, he told the truth. They need to get over it. They never get over it. You're kidding, right? Look, they still can't believe that... the champion of women's rights, yeah, she's got a big award from some teachers union in New York on Friday for champion being a champion for women's rights. The same woman who, along with Curious George Stephanopoulos, now a world-famous journalist, of course, at ABC News, ran the war room, as they called it, whose sole purpose in life was to destroy the reputations and the character, not to mention the stories, of all the women that hashtag Me Too Bill Clinton had sexually assaulted, harassed, raped, according to one woman, Juanita Broderick, over his political career. This is championing women's rights? But, you know, they're willing to overlook virtually anything if you have the right opinions and are politically correct. Then all is forgiven. And it's pretty sad what they're willing to overlook or forgive. How did Bill Clinton is the poster boy for hashtag Me Too? And yet, you know, he's walking around. Harvey Weinstein's probably going to jail. And Bill Clinton's walking around. Hey, how you doing? Hey, what's up? Mueller struck the communist media and the like. I colluded with millions of others to elect Trump and pass along to you the mother of all middle fingers. Gotcha. Bob Trump probably has a plan for indoor golf courses in Russia. Wouldn't surprise me. Indoor golf courses in Russia. You know, like, what is it, Top Golf that's coming here? You know, the big golf center. Come out, drink beer and hit golf balls and have fun. I think they've broken ground on that now. It's going to be up the other end of Garlington Road towards Pelham. Bob, could evidence supporting Hillary Clinton's lawlessness and illegality be thrown out or tainted and inadmissible in court because it's associated with the Russians, and the Russians, we know, didn't do anything wrong? Rush said it might be a race for statute of limitations for how long ago did bad actors break the law and whether they can be charged or not. Got to take a break for the news here at the bottom of the hour. Annie is ready to go. Today is the... 17th of July. It was 21 years ago today. There was a big explosion in the sky off the coast of Long Island. TWA 800. Can't convince me the official explanation is what really happened. And that opinion is shared by a veteran pilot who, in fact, used to fly Obama around. Talk about TWA 800 coming up.
Rock on, brother.
That's what we do. 4 hours each day. Bob and the Bobettes. Yours truly, Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass, pushing the buttons, previewing the callers, doing a pre-interview before they actually she screens them before we get them onto the air. Although that doesn't mean that we, you know, preclude people from the other side of the spectrum. And, of course, little Annie back in the news center as well. In on the text line, 71307. Keep up the good work, Bobby. You are my favorite guest host of the Bobby Mac Show. Thank you. Appreciate that. I mentioned before we went to the break for the news, today is July 17th. It was on this date 21 years ago that TWA Flight 800 crashed, was blown up, killing 230. There's a piece that was written several years ago by Andrew Danziger, the Daily News in New York, that was an interview with a man who was greatly experienced in the aviation field. The headline on the story, former Obama pilot, TWA Flight 800 was not blown up by a faulty fuel tank. It was shot down. I'll always believe that, and here's why. Was TWA Flight 800 shot out of the sky? As a former pilot, that's a question I get asked about all the time. I'm no conspiracy theorist, but let's be clear. Yes, I say it was, and I believe the FBI covered it up. Does this have new bearing now, considering what we know about the Mueller's, the Comey's, the Strucks, the Lisa Page's, I shouldn't have mentioned her name, all those people at the FBI? Yes, I say it was, and I believe the FBI covered it up. There are many reasons to disbelieve the official explanation of what happened to TWA 800 21 years ago, July 17, 1996, off the south shore of Long Island. There's hardly an airline pilot among the hundreds I know who buys the official explanation that it was a fuel tank explosion offered by the National Transportation Safety Board some 4 years later. Lots of things can go wrong with an airplane. Engines can fail, they can catch fire, devices can malfunction, pilots make errors. But jets do not explode in midair. If they do, it's usually because they've been shot down or bombed. There's little to suggest that there was a bomb on board TWA 800, but there is ample evidence that a missile of some sort detonated in the air very close to the plane and brought it down. A former colleague who will remain unnamed because he was not authorized to speak publicly about this served as one of the lead investigators representing the interests of the TWA pilots. And I talked to him at length about the investigation after it was over. I've also spoken with another former TWA employee who has knowledge of what went on in the aftermath of the crash. How the investigation was conducted and what my colleague said he witnessed, not to mention the scores of conflicting eyewitness accounts of the crash, has led me to believe that whatever sent Flight 800 to its fiery doom could not have been a fuel tank explosion. The accident was officially attributed to the explosion of fuel vapors in an empty center fuel tank, probably ignited by a spark from a faulty fuel quantity probe inside the tank. The probe wiring is bundled at points with some lighting circuit wires. Investigators determined there was a crack in the insulation, which allowed high voltage from the lighting circuitry to create a spark that ignited the vapors in the empty tank. I have a problem with this theory. The probes that measure fuel quantity were recovered from the bottom of the ocean during the salvage effort. They were cleaned, and they all passed stringent tests. There wasn't a single piece of cracked insulation in the 159 miles of wire recovered in the investigation. Conveniently, Lengths of wire where the cracks were imagined to exist were supposedly among the 16 miles of wire that weren't recovered. And I say supposedly for good reason. According to my colleague who worked for TWA, the mechanics and their representatives were denied access in the early going to the hangar where all of the recovered material was stored and being reassembled. And there's this. During the investigation, the FBI periodically required everyone to leave the hangar due to national security issues. Only after they sterilized the area were folks allowed back in to continue where they left off. That is, if what they were examining was still there. According to my colleague, this happened time after time. Remember, airplanes just don't blow up in flight. The claim that an empty center fuel tank exploded doesn't pass the smell test. There are about 45,000 big jet airplane departures every day in the U.S. Most of those planes fly around with empty center fuel tanks, while the main wing tanks, which always start off with fuel, are nearly depleted upon landing. Since the first American jetliner entered into service in 1958, some 38 years before the loss of TWA Flight 800, airliners were flying around with empty or near-empty fuel tanks. Just doing some simple arithmetic, hundreds of millions of flights flew around the U.S. between 1958 and 1996 and never exploded in midair because a combustible mix of fuel vapors triggered an explosion in the center fuel tank. And that's just in the U.S. If we account for all the flying in the world during that time frame, that would be well north of 1 billion flights in which there wasn't a single in-flight explosion. So what actually happened on that horrific day? Here's what we know for sure, according to documents and other reports. TSA was one of the preeminent legacy airlines of its day, with a well-deserved reputation for having some of the highest quality pilots, best-trained mechanics, and well-maintained aircraft. The TWA 800 aircraft was a 747-100 model built and delivered in 1971. At the time of the accident, the aircraft was 25 years old. By no means a spring chicken, but not old compared to the average fleet of 747s used at TWA and other major airlines. Airplanes undergo continuous inspections and maintenance as approved by government regulators and can be kept safe and airworthy for a great many years. You might be shocked to learn the actual age of the airplane on which you're flying. The Flight 800 aircraft had arrived at JFK a few hours earlier from Athens, Greece. The pilots reported a few minor glitches upon arrival in Athens and their subsequent return to New York, but those mechanical irregularities were all addressed. After some routine servicing and normal repair work, the aircraft took off for Paris, France, with 230 passengers, including four pilots and 14 flight attendants. Less than 15 minutes after departure, the plane exploded just off the coast of Long Island. When it happened, the plane was climbing out of about 13,700 feet, about right for its location, considering its weight and the time from takeoff. It was on a heavily traveled departure path and was trailed by airliners also headed for an Atlantic crossing. Pilots are used to looking at other airplanes in flight. It would be hard for a pilot to misidentify something rising up from the water, climbing almost 14,000 feet into the air, and striking an aircraft that was flying between 10 and 40 miles in front of them. It would be equally difficult to miss something that was just falling out of the sky on fire after exploding in flight for no apparent reason. After the explosion, more than three dozen witnesses reported they'd seen contrails going up into the sky towards the plane. 18 of those people said they saw something coming up from the water, rising to meet the plane. The FBI only summarized the interviews in its reports. The witnesses weren't permitted to see what was written or to review the reports, and the NTSB only received summary reports in which all personal information was redacted. Maybe most importantly, the witnesses, there were more than 700 of them, weren't permitted to testify. Among those witnesses were people who attended a wedding on a beach, which was in progress at the time of the explosion. Some of them were recording the ceremony, their cameras trained on the wedding party with the ocean and sky in the background. Many of these people witnessed the explosion. Some said they saw something rising from the water. During the investigation, holes were discovered in parts of the aircraft's skin that penetrated from outside in, evidence that an object, most likely a missile, had struck the plane. But when investigators began photographing that evidence, according to my former colleague who was there, the FBI told them to stop. Normally, air crash investigations in the U.S. are led by the NTSB, but it's standard procedure to have investigators present who represent all the interested parties. The NTSB, the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, the airline, the pilots union, mechanics, and the manufacturer of the airframe, engines, and aircraft components. The FBI's presence on the investigation team was unusual in any fashion, but for the agency to take the lead was unprecedented. The salvage effort and investigation took 4 years with painstaking study of every recovered piece of evidence, no matter how small. All of the recovered pieces were reassembled back into an airplane like a giant jigsaw puzzle. After all of that, the FAA issued a recommendation that pilots turn off the center tank fuel pumps before the tank runs completely dry to avoid a similar, quote, malfunction. Airlines were given years to put in a simple and inexpensive system that automatically shut down the fuel pumps when the tanks ran dry. Yet the fuel pump itself was never implicated in the Flight 800 disaster, which leaves us with many more questions than answers, to wit, why was the FBI, as my investigator colleague has suggested, obstructing investigators from doing their job? What did the feds find out about this accident that elevated it to the level of a national security interest? Was it a terrorist attack, a precursor to 9/11, as has been widely suggested, or a U.S. military training exercise gone wrong? Sadly, we may never know, but as an experienced commercial pilot, I know this much. Planes do not blow up by themselves. I firmly believe that this plane was shot down. I also believe my friend when he says the FBI imposed limits on what investigators could and couldn't analyze. With that said, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Or it's bull. That investigation smelled like bull all those years back, and time has done nothing to soften the stench. I don't believe the findings, neither do hundreds of other pilots that I know. Andrew Danziger, 28-year airline veteran with experience in turboprops and Boeing aircraft, an international 757-767 captain for 14 years. Was one of the pilots to fly Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign. Take a break here because we're running long and then be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show on Tuesday. Welcome back. 3:53 now, 7 before 4 o'clock. I mentioned this is the 21st anniversary of the downing of TWA 800. Back in the 90s, when I was working television in Memphis, I interviewed a gentleman named James Sanders. He wrote a book called The Downing of TWA Flight 800, which refuted the official FBI story. He was given seat fabric from TWA 800, which he had tested, which showed residue of rocket fuel. He ended up being accused by the FBI of stealing pieces of the wreckage, which were held in evidence by the Phibbies, and he ended up going to jail over it. James is along this afternoon. He is in Taylor's. Hi, James, and welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
So far, so good.
Wonderful. Hey, I was. You already hinted on what I was going to actually say. I heard on, I guess it was on Air Disasters, that the plane was built in the late 60s and was the oldest 747 in the air and was going to be scrapped after that flight. Did you hear anything like that?
No, but according to what Mr. Danziger said, the aircraft was 25 years old, but his feeling was it was hardly ancient.
Well, one more thing, Bob. I spent six years overhauling and calibrating fuel nozzles for for turbine engines.
Right.
And it all is based on fuel automation. The fact that they wouldn't have that in their mind when a tank's empty, that the fuel's going to automize and be that much more combustible, it is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds logical to me, James.
And like you said, it's never happened before.
And amazingly, thank God, never happened again.
Exactly.
Thank you, James.
Have a wonderful week.
Appreciate the call. Yes, sir. I mentioned James Sanders, author of the book, The Downing of TWA Flight 800. His wife, Liz Sanders, was a TWA flight attendant. According to officials, the TWA Chief 747 pilot served as the airline's number two representative in the crash investigation and allegedly took documents and seat fabric from the wreckage at the request of Liz Sanders, the wife of the author of the book, James Sanders. The items, they say, were allegedly intended to help Sanders in writing his book, promoting the theory that a missile brought down TWA Flight 800. And as I said, he ended up later being prosecuted for that and doing some time. In on the text line, 71307, Bob, remember the SAMs, surface-to-air missiles, we gave the Mujahideen to fight the Russians? They didn't use them all and refused to sell them back to us. I've been waiting for them to turn up. Bobby, why would it surprise us that the FBI would lie to the American people? They've been lying to us since JFK was assassinated. Bob, the Clintons and Obamas had that plane shot down, and they had the Twin Towers brought down, and they lit all those forest fires in the western states. Somehow, I see some holes in your theory. Career pilot here, currently working the B-767. I have never believed TWA 800 just blew up. We get to more of your phone calls when I'm right back on the other side with hour number two. And stand by, a new code word is on the way next in the $1,000 bankroll.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.